because you are so worthy. We thank you for every testimony that has been shared, every thought, every sentiment, God, even the words that folks have not spoken. Maybe they feel too shy to speak up, but God, we know that you're doing great things for everybody, whether they say it or not. And so, Lord, as we embark upon the study of your word, I ask that you would just have your way, that you would touch every heart and mind under the sound of my voice, that, Lord, you would just take these words and elevate them and let them be what they need to be for every person that's hearing, oh God. And even as I speak, oh God, let even my own spirit be taught by the words that are coming forth, oh God. And so, Lord, we just are about you. We want to just know more about you. We want to find ways to serve you better and to express our love for you. So, Lord, I just thank you right now that you are working in each and every one of us and that you are transforming the world through just the life that we're living every single day. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we've been talking about obedience over the last 4 weeks or so. Our study has been on obedience, just the general understanding of obedience, obedience in prayer, obedience in trusting God, obedience in leadership, just all aspects of obedience. And so it's my turn to speak and end this series with a discussion of obedience to God's laws. We've heard so much already, and all I'm going to do is just expand on that. And I'll start by reading a few background scriptures just to give us some context, and then we'll build from there. So I kind of have a lot more scriptures than I've been sharing lately, but I'll give them to you kind of in groups. And I do plan to read them all. So, the first scripture is going to come out of Deuteronomy 4:2. And if you have your voice version, that'll be page 212. So Deuteronomy 4:2. And then the next one will be Deuteronomy 6:17. That's on page 216 in the voice version that we have. So Deuteronomy 6:17. And then we have Joshua 1:8 on page 255. Joshua 1:8. And then Proverbs 4:10, that's on page 740, Proverbs 4:10. And I have more scriptures, but I'll just give those to you as we get closer, because I know it can be a lot to write them all down. But just starting off in Deuteronomy 4:2, again, page 212, it says, "Don't add anything to what I command you, and don't take away anything from it. Just follow the commands of the Eternal, your God, that I'm giving you now." And we're going to jump right into Deuteronomy 6:17 on page 216, where it says, "Carefully obey the commands, rules, and precedents the Eternal, your true God, has given you." And actually, I'm going to read verse 18 as well. It says, "Do the things he considers right and good, then everything will go well for you, and you'll go and live in the good land he promised to your ancestors." Joshua 1:8, we know this, we've heard it multiple times, it's one of my favorites. Page 255, it says, "Let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success." And then Proverbs 4:10, again, page 740. It says, "Hear my words, my son, and take them in. Let them soak in so that you will live a long and a full life." And I would suggest reading all of Proverbs 4, such a powerful chapter in general that speaks to wisdom. But these are the scriptures that we're going to start with. And as I reflected on these scriptures, I began to ask myself, what are the laws or commands that these scriptures reference? And what is God's guidance for us as Christians today? To begin, you have to first understand that during the time of the scriptures from Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Proverbs, they didn't have the whole Bible as we know it today. So for the Israelites, the reference to the law or commands primarily spoke to the Pentateuch or what we know as the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It spoke to all the laws that God gave the children of Israel to help them to see their need for a savior, meaning it was clear that no one was capable of keeping every law perfectly and therefore secure righteousness on their own. They, all of humankind, needed a sacrifice that could once and for all atone for sin, bestow righteousness, and bring humankind back into the relationship God intended to have with human beings. Ultimately, we know that Jesus was that sacrifice. So when we reference these scriptures in Deuteronomy and Joshua, we must first realize the context that, one, it was commanding the Israelites to follow all the laws, and there were a lot of laws laid out by Moses. And two, when it says don't add or take away from the commands, it was speaking to a practice by some scribes of adding their own interpretations that diminished the word of God, replacing it with man-made or human traditions. We must realize that the law, as laid out in the Old Testament, wasn't God's original intent for man. He didn't want obedience based in written laws and commands. He wanted something more. He desired obedience rooted in relationship, obedience rooted in a connection at the heart and spirit level. We find indications of this intention that God had in scripture. And so Psalms chapter 51, verses 16 and 17, that's on page 663 in the Voice. Psalms 51, 16 and 17, page 663. It says, I would surrender my dearest possessions or destroy all that I prize to prove my regret. But you don't take pleasures in sacrifices or burnt offerings. What sacrifice I can offer you is my broken spirit, because a broken spirit, O God, a heart that honestly regrets the past, you won't detest. In the NIV version, it says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Another scripture that speaks to God's intentions, original intentions, Jeremiah 31 and 33. It's on page 923 in the Voice. Jeremiah 31 and 33. It says, this is the kind of new covenant I will make with the people of Israel when those days are over. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. An expansion of this comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 18. That's on page 1491. Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 18, page 1491. In the Voice, it says, but when those days are over, says the Eternal One, I will make this kind of covenant with the people of Israel. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them upon their minds. Then he adds in verse 17, I will erase their sins and wicked acts out of my memory as though they had never existed. Verse 18, and when there's forgiveness such as this, there is no longer any need to make an offering for sin. The Passion Translation of this says, afterwards, I will give them this covenant. I will embed my laws into their hearts and fasten my word to their thoughts. And then he says, I will not ever again remember their sins and lawless deeds. So if our sins have been forgiven and forgotten, why would we ever need to offer another sacrifice for sin? From these scriptures, we get a glimpse of the relationship God wanted with man or woman, not one based in strict adherence to written laws, sacrifices, and rituals. He wanted close connection. He painted a picture of a future that wouldn't depend on, you know, having to do those specific kinds of actions or say any specific kind of words. That's not what he wanted. He wanted a close connection where he could speak directly to us. And then we have that relationship and act out of that relationship. And we find the fulfillment of that intent in the future that we see in Jesus. John 13, verse 34 through 35, and we've heard this many, many times, page 1313, John 13, 34 and 35, this is what Jesus said. He gave us that picture of the future as well. He said, "So I give you a new command, love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others." Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, and that's on page 1186. In the voice, it says, again, Matthew 22, 36 through 40, it says, "The Pharisee said, 'Teacher, of all the laws, which commandment is the greatest?' Jesus, quoting scripture, he said, 'Love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is nearly as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets are but variations on these themes.'" Sometimes we get so caught up in obeying laws that we forget about the freedom that we're meant to enjoy. We forget that God never meant for us to spend our time obsessing over whether or not we followed every law, or obsessing over whether or not someone else is doing the right thing according to our understanding of the law. If we're going to hold anyone to a standard, if we're going to judge anyone, we must first begin with ourselves. And the only standard, the only law that we should obsess over is what we read in Matthew 22. Are we obeying the law of love? Loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, loving our neighbor as ourselves. All of the Old Testament law and prophets were merely trying to get people to understand and abide by this simple principle. Why did the children of Israel need the Old Testament law in the first place? Because their hearts were conditioned in the ways of the world around them. They knew of God, but they didn't really know him. Isaiah chapter 29 and 13, it highlights this. That's on page 824. So Isaiah 29 and 13. Page 824, it says, "These people think they can draw near to me by saying the right things, by honoring me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me consists of man-made traditions learned by rote. It is a meaningless sham." Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 16. This is on page 246. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 16, page 246. It says, "After all, what I'm commanding you today isn't too difficult for you. It's not out of reach. It's not up in the sky, so you don't have to say, 'Who will go up into heaven and get it for us and tell us what it is so we can obey it?' It's not across the sea, so you don't have to say, 'Who will go beyond the watery abyss and get it for us and tell us what it is so we can obey it?' No. The words you need to be faithful to the eternal are very close to you. They are in your mouth. Always talk about these laws as I've commanded you. And in your heart, treasure them there. Look, I've given you two choices today. You can have life with all the good things it brings, or death and all the bad things it brings. If you do what I've commanded you today and love the eternal, your God, if you live as he wants you to, if you obey his commands, regulations, and judgments, then you'll live and have many descendants. He will bless you in the land where you're going to live." This is an Old Testament version of that, but you can also reference this in Romans 10 and 8, and you'll hear, you know, see the same thing in the New Testament, that the admonition that the word is as close as your mouth and heart, and it can also, you know, just be found there. So knowing what we know of God today, what he has revealed to us about himself, we can now look at all of the Old Testament scriptures that concern the law and commandments and know that the only commandment we've been given is that of love. If we obey, meditate, recondition our hearts and minds so that they are grounded in love, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, then we can be confident that we are walking in obedience and our lives will go well. Not perfect, not good all the time, but our lives will go well because we know that we are deepening our relationship with God. And as we do, our minds are being transformed to see as he sees, and his character is being formed in us such that no matter what goes on in our life, good or bad, we are content, as Paul would say. It's funny, even with all the laws that the children of Israel were given, the writer of Deuteronomy said, "What I'm commanding you today isn't too difficult for you. It's not out of reach." But we all know that it had to be very difficult for anyone to follow all those laws. But today, I can definitely say to you, what I'm sharing with you as it relates to obeying God isn't difficult, and it's not out of your reach. It starts with you first realizing that you are no longer a prisoner. Jesus paid the price for your sins, and you are now free to live connected to God. You're free to recognize that he has placed his laws in your heart and written them in your minds. And all you have to do is accept that and begin to walk in your newfound freedom, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you through your regenerated heart and mind. When in doubt about your obedience to God, ask yourself, am what I'm thinking or doing align with the law of love? Meaning, to the best of my knowledge, am I doing, thinking, speaking from a place of love for God and love for the people around me that are made in his image? If you can answer yes, or answer, I'm trying to the best of my ability, and I'm committed to getting better and better every day, then you are walking in obedience. It's that simple. If you forget, go back and read Hebrews 10 to remind yourself of the freedom that you now have. Remind yourself of the words in Deuteronomy or Romans that tells you that God has put his laws in your heart and mind. Remind yourself that you have the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things. Remind yourself of the number one commandment, which is to love. Remind yourself. Don't let you or, you know, don't let anyone else condemn you as it relates to obedience, because obedience is an intimate matter between you and God. God, in his infinite wisdom and creativity, communicates with us on the level that we're on. He uses all of his creation to share his love for us and reveal himself to us. So give him the space to speak and grow you in the way that best fits who you are. Not everyone will understand, but trust him. Trust the process. And in the end, you'll look back and see that obedience wasn't even something you had to think a lot about, because every day you walked in the simple commandment to love God and others as best as you knew how. The whole point of obedience is just to get you aligned with God's eternal plan for your life and this world. It's a means to an end. It is not the end. Some people get so wrapped up in, am I obeying? Am I following, you know, back to the Old Testament, trying to follow like the laws and stuff that you see in the Old Testament. And you have to realize that that was not the end. You know, that was just the beginning, that God had something more. He was foreshadowing something bigger, even in the law. And so we all have to do is just grow ourselves to the place where we realize that there was a bigger plan in relation to obedience. And that was not following some specific thing that's written down or some specific thing that's told to us, but it's about obedience to what God has placed in our heart to do. And if you can do that, then guess what? You've done everything that you need to do. So many people walk around in condemnation. I've been guilty of it myself, walking around in condemnation because it's like, oh, I didn't follow the Ten Commandments or something, you know. But if you just think about that section in Hebrews, it's like there are no longer any sacrifices needed because Jesus made the sacrifice. You don't have to do all those things that they were doing. And sometimes people want to do it because they want to show on the outside what's going on. But God is not concerned about what's on the outside. He's concerned about what's in your heart. That's why he said, I will write the laws in their heart. I will write the laws in their mind. I'll put them there. He will put them there. You don't even have to really do it, because guess what? It's already in you. When you were born, it was in you. All you have to do is live in a way that allows that to come out of you. God is not looking for robots. He's not looking for people who are obsessed about dotting every I and crossing every T. He's not looking for someone who thinks they have it all together. He's looking for you just as you are. as messed up and imperfect as we all may be, he's looking for a heart that is open, willing, and ready to partner with him on the journey of life. It is a most amazing journey that's focused in freedom, love, inspiration, and creativity to bring the experience of heaven into earth. The real question is, can you, even for myself, can I, you know, get out of what we think we know and connect into the possibilities? Maybe, just maybe, that's where real obedience begins. Let's pray. Father, help us to take in your word. Help us to take in all that we've learned and see that obedience is simple. Help us to see that obedience and love, they go hand in hand. And if we can focus our lives around loving you and those that you've placed around us, if we can see the needs of our world and do what we can to meet those needs, if we can let our hearts lead us to take risk, to love recklessly, to live compassionately, then we have embodied what obedience is all about. Remind us that we have your spirit to help us and guide us in all truth and wisdom. Let us embrace that truth so that we can see our lives align with your hope for the world. Let us not be so caught up in obedience, but let us be entangled with the law of love such that all our words and deeds bring glory to you. Amen.